I've been worrying too much lately. How much is too much? I don't know, but I'm worried that I've passed the acceptable limit. I know it's not spiritually correct to fret. Those with real faith overcome their fears, right? That's why I'm working on not worrying, but I'm worried it isn't working. What is causing all this concern? Well, work is demanding, someone I care about is in the hospital, and someone else I love is facing a serious life challenge. The house needs repairs, and there are pine cones all over the yard. I do realize that the pine cones are insignificant in comparison to all the other items, but I have to tell you that they are really starting to get to me. I was praying yesterday and had so many thoughts interrupt me that I had to stop intermittently and note the distractions on a to-do list. It seemed like a really good idea at the time. However, I now have another list of things that need to be taken care of, and there is little to no hope of completing it anytime soon. That is starting to worry me too. Exhausting, isn't it? Don't get me wrong. All these thoughts haven't been going through my head at once. Instead, they seem to pop up uninvited as soon as I settle into a moment of peace. They have apparently been waiting to ambush my more positive mental processes. The good news? I'm working vigorously to fight this temporary worry mania. It's actually been somewhat cathartic to write all this down, except I'm a wee bit concerned that I've left something important off the list. Another way of saying all this is that I'm currently feeling compelled to keep my eye on things that may strike without warning. I've had some of that happen in my life, especially over the past few years. I bet you have too. Maybe it was a spouse who walked out on you when you least expected it, leaving you to readjust to life overnight. Or was it a child who got lost along the way? An unexpected illness, defeat, or tragedy may have changed the landscape of your life in a single moment. While one part of your heart has been trying to whisper comfort, another part has been so noisy with pain you simply can't ignore it. We each respond a little differently to life's bumps. Some of us withdraw, some get angry, some ignore, and some, like me, start to worry too much. If you think I'm crazy, I'm betting you ignore the bad stuff, thinking that if you don't acknowledge it, it will go away. I hate to burst your bubble, but I think that's called denial. On the other hand, you could be someone who handles life's rantings and ravings perfectly. If that is the case, you can use this book to gain some insight into your family, neighbors, and coworkers. I almost named this book, It's Been a Tough Couple of Years. There are plenty of references to those words in these stories. However, there is another factor at work here. It is about the opportunity that lies in the after effects of tragedy, both mine and yours. I read an interesting newspaper article about an unexpected side effect of the killer Hurricane Katrina. The commentary stated that up to 21 billion board feet of wood was left lying on the forest floors from Texas to Alabama following Katrina's deadly debut. While that sounds like exceptionally bad news, it is actually promising news. Someone recognized that the wood from the fallen trees could build enough homes to fill a medium-sized city. Imagine that. The very thing needed to rebuild the homes and businesses devastated by Katrina was provided, at least partially, by the storm itself. The biggest challenge was finding the resources to get the wood to market before it rotted or contributed to the growing threat of a forest fire. All this makes me think, why am I worrying? There is probably a city's worth of resources littering the forest of my heart. Yours probably has useful debris in there too. Certainly the storms in our lives have left some fallen trees behind. We have no time to lose before we recognize and take advantage of the opportunity in them. I need to start building. I don't want anything rotting while I'm worrying. Maybe my pain can be turned into a bridge that connects me to others who have been through hard times. If left on its own, I'm pretty sure that same pain can turn to anger or more worry, starting a fire that can burn my heart. I've been watching the news lately and can testify that a fire, once started, is very hard to get under control. Lots of people get displaced. Lots of homes are lost or ruined. I don't want that sort of damage inside. Do you? I saw a t-shirt recently that said, "No use being pessimistic. It doesn't work anyway." It took me a minute to get it. The person who wrote the article about using the leftovers from Katrina's devastation to build something new certainly understood. That individual saw the incredible opportunity we have to find what we need in the middle of what we've lost. All of the stories in this book are true. I've lived them myself and watched others live them. There are a few tales inspired by newspaper accounts or other articles. I can't verify the absolute accuracy of those original reports, but I'm giving the reporters who wrote them the benefit of the doubt. Keep reading, and you can decide for yourself. As for me, I'm now wondering how I go about publishing this book. In the spirit of reflecting on my own musings here, I've decided not to worry about it. If you are reading this, it's a good bet that I checked the debris littering my brain and found something in there that looked like paper pulp in the making. If you're willing to look at the landscape of your own heart, I believe you will find amazing resources there as well. You may not write a book, but you may script a new chapter in your life, built with your leftover pain. Maybe these new structures will provide safe haven against future storms. Like constructing new cities from fallen trees, it's a tantalizing concept. Don't waste another minute. Grab your hammer, sharpen your saw, and start reading. You won't have to look far for the lumber. It's right there in your heart. So join me. There's healing ahead.